Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Well, hello everyone. Who's excited to be at church today? Best day of the week, best moment of the week, and I am so glad to be able to teach and share with you today. If you're new, we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Brian. I have the privilege of being one of our pastors here at Centerpoint, and we want to keep this 21 days of prayer and fasting that we just went through the month of January going. We don't want to lose our spiritual fervor, and if you didn't participate and you were kind of on the fence, here's the great thing about prayer and fasting. You can start anytime. You don't need us to be doing it as a church to kind of learn about these spiritual disciplines. We have plenty of resources online to let you know more about that. And so as we're kind of wrapping up January, coming into this new series in February, we wanted to start a new series on prayer and to learn how to pray. And to do so, we're going to go to the Master himself. We're going to go to Jesus. And so here's what we're going to do. Over the next 5 weeks, starting next week specifically, we're going to break down the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer has different aspects to it, things that the Lord, that Jesus is teaching us to pray about and to pray through. And each week we're going to learn about one of these other important parts, and we're going to learn how to pray through it in a way that really brings transformation into our life. And I thought it'd be kind of fun, since this whole series is on the Lord's Prayer, to start by doing something we normally don't do here at Centerpoint. A lot of Christian heritage and different traditions will often have a responsive reading or a time in the service where the congregation all says the same thing at the same time. And being that many of you, certainly not all of you, but many of you know the Lord's Prayer, I wanted to start this series by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Now, I will just say, because we had our service on Thursday, that there are two ways of ending the Lord's Prayer. It always gets awkward and confusing at the end, right? Everyone who grew up Catholic ends at one place. Some different Protestant groups go a little bit further, and we're going to stop, but deliver us from evil. And then just stop. Just stop right there. Don't be the mumbler. It's okay. We're going to stop right there, and I'm going to get us started, but I'm going to stop talking because I want us to hear our corporate voices, and we'll have it on the screen if you are new and you don't know what the Lord's Prayer is at all. So let's say it together. Our Father. Amen. Amen. One of you were a little fast over there. I just want you to know that the rest had the right pace on that. Let's see, a little overeager. All right, that's all right. You know what's so funny is with the Lord's Prayer, it's the only time I still use the King James Version, right? Like I was reading in the NIV, I'm like, oh, that's not right. That doesn't, because it's the only time thy feels appropriate. I mean, I don't use thy any other time except when I'm going through the Lord's Prayer. It's like, oh no, that needs a thy right there. That makes it the Lord's Prayer. Well, let me tell you a little bit about this famous prayer. First, you actually find the Lord's Prayer in two books, two of the Gospels. Now, the one we just said, we learn in Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 6. That's the regular version that we're all accustomed to knowing and understanding. But there is actually an abridged version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11 as well. And this prayer is really divided into two halves. We'll unpack this over the next few weeks specifically, but I want to just kind of give you this overview of it for a moment. The first half is solely focused on God. Look at this. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's all about the attention to God. But then it shifts in the second half where it's kind of on us as in our needs. It's still always on God, but it's kind of on our specific needs, right? Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we see that in this prayer of the two halves, it gives us such a great framework for how to pray in the first place. And here in Matthew, the Lord's Prayer that we know, it begins with this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, where Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." Jesus is laying the foundation of what is so important about prayer. And what's interesting is, I don't think he was saying, and this is my opinion, there's many people who would agree with me on this, I don't think Jesus was saying, this is the only prayer you need to pray within these exact frameworks and words. Now, I don't believe it's wrong to do what we just did, to have a responsive rhythm or a responsive prayer where we all say the same prayer in the exact way that Jesus has given it to us. But when he gave the Lord's Prayer, I don't think he was saying, listen, if you pray this within 1 minute, you're done praying for the day. This is it. This is, you just give this prayer, maybe say it 3 times a day, take it like a vitamin, you're going to be healthy, you're going to be good. See, what I think he was doing with the disciples is saying, no, I'm going to give you some of the key ingredients to prayer. And these are the things that you should be praying through. And here's the beautiful thing. As you're praying through these different ideas, now you get to pray as you feel led and desired within each of these different categories, in each of these different areas. And again, that's what we're going to be unpacking starting next week. But let me ask you, have you ever wondered why we should pray in the first place? Have you ever wondered that? Like, why do this? Now, I've been in the church my whole life. I've been a pastor for 28 years. I grew up in the church. And I got to be honest with you, there have been seasons of my life that I'm like, why am I doing this again? Right? Like, I'm talking. I'm praying in my head. I'm praying out loud. I'm an out loud prayer, by the way. If I pray in my head, I get distracted way too easy. This place is scary, people. Like, I get stuck in here very, very quickly. I'm also a pacer prayer. You know, some people kneel, right? This is how you pray, right? And you're like, I can't do that. Oh, that hurts. You stop praying like that after about 40. You know what I mean? You just getting up and down. No, I have to pace. I have to walk. I'll go around the sanctuary as I pray. But have you had these moments where you're like, why am I doing this? Because I'm pretty sure God knows everything. Have you ever thought that? Like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to throw something out there in my prayer and God's like, oh, really? I missed that. I'm so sorry. I didn't see that the other day. I was getting a massage and it was at the spa in heaven, and I missed that moment. Have you ever wondered, like, why do we do this? And so before we get into the Lord's Prayer, I want to unpack why we pray before we learn how you should pray. Because I think the why needs to come first. We need to make sure we understand what this is all about and why God asks us to do it in the first place before we go through the reasons to do it. So I want to give you today three reasons that we as the people of God should pray. And here's the first one. Because prayer is communion with God. Now, if that sounds familiar, if you're part of Center Points, because communion is our very first value. We have 6 values of our church that kind of guide our ministry, and the very first one is communion, that you and I get to commune with God, that we get to have conversation and relationship with God. The communion, that's what it really is all about. And we all know that relationships need communion to thrive. You can't say you have a relationship with someone if you don't ever communicate with them. That's not a relationship. A relationship means that there is a giving and sharing of ideas and expressions and opinions, and a relationship has to have communication to actually be considered a relationship. And this is equally as true when it comes to God. In Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, we said it was in Luke chapter 11, it begins with this, Luke 11:1. It says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' Now, some people believe this is the same exact moment that we find in Matthew 6. Some others believe it was a different moment. I do not know, but the totality of the Gospels show different angles and aspects of what is going on. And here we see this moment where one of the disciples, it doesn't say who. If I was to guess, I would say Peter, because he was always the one asking the question, but it could have been anyone. And they said, how do you do this? And I love this idea of asking the question, why do we pray? Jesus, teach us to pray. Like, I need to understand this better. Because the disciples knew that prayer was critical. They didn't want to miss it. They had a humility about them with prayer that I hope we all have as disciples of Jesus. And the thing that I find most interesting is that the disciples were Jewish men, and they certainly knew how to pray. They weren't coming in this as novices. They weren't coming in this with no concept. I mean, they were Jewish men in the Jewish faith. There's ample, multiple ways of praying and times to pray and praying three times a day and prayer shawls and prayers that you would learn from childhood. Like, they knew how to pray. But they also realized that everything Jesus had taught had a deeper meaning. And that Jesus was bringing them back to the heart of God as opposed to simply performing the law. And so there was an assumption here that even prayer is going to look different once Jesus teaches it. He's going to enlighten us in a whole new way about prayer that we had not ever seen before and probably the world had never conceptualized before. And so they wanted Jesus to teach them how to pray. And the purpose of prayer isn't so that you can just check off a box of religious activity for the day. I think for a lot of us as Christians, a lot of us who pray, prayer is just kind of like, all right, good, I got it done. I woke up, I showered, check. I took some vitamins, check. Ate breakfast, check. Prayed, check. And you're just kind of going through the things that you have to do in the day. But we pray not because it's a religious box. We pray because we get to talk to God. Amen? Like, we get to talk to God, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of all things, the one who made everything out of nothing, that God. You get to talk to him, and he wants you to talk to him. I love that Jesus wants us to pray to him. Just think about that, that he wants you to connect with him, to have a relationship with him, and to commune with him. Because without communication, as I said earlier, there is no relationship. And the more you talk to someone, the more that relationship grows. And Jesus wants us to have a growing relationship with him. We don't pray because we're giving him information that he doesn't know. We pray because it draws us into a deeper relationship with him. Quick example. I think I shared this not too long ago, but I talk to my mom almost every morning, every other morning. I talk to a good boy, yes. Like, some mom's like, listen to this. Listen to Pastor. He only speaks truth. I do. On my way to work, I call my mom every morning, and it's the perfect drive. It's 12 minutes. I'm just saying. It's, all right, I'm a guy. I don't want to talk to anyone too long. Let's get to it. Let's give me the facts. Let's move on. And so every morning as I drive to work, I give my mom a call. But that wasn't always the case. You see, before my dad passed, my dad and I had a really, really tight relationship. And I called my dad all the time. My dad wasn't just my dad. He was my friend. And we loved talking about church and life and, you know, and different interests. We just had a lot in common. But after my dad passed, I can't believe it was almost 10 years ago, I, as the oldest child, the son, the only son of the family, I felt a strong obligation to be there for my mom. And so when I used to call my dad, I started to call my mom. And here was so interesting about that shift over the last 10 years. I know my mom better now than I ever had in my life. I know more how she thinks, and I know more about her past, and I know more about how she was raised, and I know more about the feelings she had during certain seasons of our life and what we went through as a family, and I know about her chickens. Oh, if she talks about her chickens another time. If you're watching this, Mom, I love your chickens. They're great. I'm really glad you have a hobby. But and our relationship has shifted so much after the last decade. And what's interesting is, by the way, it's shifted by just having 12-minute conversations on a regular basis. That's another point that we may get into through this, but it's not like we always have to sit down and have an hour-long conversation for me to have a check-in and make sure that I know how my mom is doing and what she's thinking and what's going on with her. It's this moment of deliberate, this moment of intentionality to say, you matter to me, and so I'm going to block out everything else right now, and I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to make our relationship in this moment the priority. That's a huge part of what prayer is. And as a result of that communication, the relationship shifts. It grows. As much as it would with any other person, it does with God. Of you saying, I'm making this a priority that I can commune with you, and I'm going to go out of my way with a level of regularity, I would argue daily. In a moment, I'll even argue all throughout the day, but that you're saying, God, I just want to communicate with you above all else right now. And I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to go through the points of the Lord's Prayer with you, stopping everything else and making our relationship the priority. Listen, friends, Jesus, and I want to say this very carefully, Jesus didn't just die on the cross to save you from sin. And that doesn't demean in any way that Jesus died on the cross to save you from sin. I mean, that is the ultimate, that is the great gift, but that wasn't it. As a result of also doing that, what Jesus did was our sin was forgiven. We receive the righteousness now of Christ so that we can have a relationship with God. Not just when we're dead and in eternity, but it starts now. In this moment that you say yes to Jesus, forgive me of my sin, in that moment, the relationship with God that will last for all of eternity begins in this divine moment of saying yes to Jesus, so that you can have a relationship with him. Yet without prayer, the problem is we don't actually have a real relationship with God. Without prayer, what you really have is you only have a spiritual figurehead named Jesus, as opposed to a relationship with Jesus. Yes, he is your God. Yes, he has saved you, but it's not this relational reality of your life. It's kind of like he's up there, I'm down here, I'm doing my thing, he's doing his thing. What prayer does is it brings that gap together so that we can have a true relationship with him. Jesus wants more of you. Amen. Second point I want you to see. The first one was we have communion with God. The second thing is that prayer is reliance on God. Prayer is reliance on God. There's a great passage in Ephesians chapter 6. It's a very preachable passage. A lot of times pastors will make into series. We've made into series before. It's all about the armor of God. And it equates the armor of God to the armor of a Roman soldier. And it walks through these different aspects of armor and how that could translate to the spiritual reality of the battle we're in against the reality of the demonic and all the struggles we have in our life. And as that passage of armor is wrapping up, Paul says this. It's kind of the last point connected to it. He says in Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. As Paul's wrapping up this reality of spiritual warfare, he brings it back to the necessity of prayer. And he says an interesting term that I think is worth noting real quick. He says to pray in the Spirit. Now again, like most things in the Bible, there could be multiple interpretations of that. And some of you come from a church background that is charismatic or Pentecostal, and the physical manifestation, the works of the Spirit are very evident and present within the church body. And you hear pray in the Spirit, some of you are like, yes, you get excited. I know who you are. But what I would argue that this particular part of praying the Spirit means is that we're praying under the Spirit's influence and with his assistance. It doesn't mean speaking in tongues, for example, a Spirit-led kind of language that you have that is coming from you. Do I believe that exists? Yes. Do I believe all of the spiritual gifts in the New Testament exist? Yes. But that's not what this is talking about. in this moment, Paul, when he's saying to pray in the Spirit, it's the reality that once you accept Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit helps us in all aspects of what we do, including even in prayer. And what I love about that is it reveals to us that we even have to rely on the Holy Spirit as we pray to help us even in our prayer. But then Paul says on all occasions, to pray in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You see, friends, there is a reliance on God because on all occasions, good or bad, we are making sure that we are turning to Him and making that occasion all about God in our life. It brings our reliance on Him, no matter it's a hardship or a struggle or a desert season or a dark soul of the night, or it's this real hard moment, or it's a moment of absolute bliss and joy and you're ecstatic and you can't believe life can be that good, and everything in between, that in all circumstances we're still saying this moment is all about God. And it's through God, and it's by God, and it's for God. And I'm going to give the praise to God, and I'm going to thank God. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to be praying to Him no matter what is going on in the scenarios around me. Thank you, God, that I get to commune with Him. How cool is it to even think about that no matter what you are doing, God is there either mourning with you or partying with you. He's there. He's present. He's part of this process. No matter what, it's about God. I love, in one of the shortest verses in all of the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If you're not good at memorizing scripture like I'm not good at memorizing scripture, I love moments like this because here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. You just learned a Bible verse today. You get a star on your way out. We're going to have them. The ushers are going to put a little star on your chest. If you can say, pray continually as you walk out. Pray continually. That there is this constant reliance in our life upon God, that He's always there in the way that we're thinking and what we're thinking about, and we're leaning on Him, and we're realizing that we need to position ourselves to say in every moment we need more of God. In all things, we rely on Him to get us through life. We need God in everything. Full reliance on Him. Amen? Let me speak to the old school Christians in the room for a moment, because as I was writing this message and I got to this point on full reliance on God, I thought, who needs to know this more than anyone? I think a lot of us, when we're brand new to faith, we realize how hard it is to be a Christian. We're like, man, I got to rely on God in everything. When you're brand new to faith, everything seems just big and struggle and hard because you're not used to what God's doing. As we learned in December, sanctification, the process of becoming like Jesus, like that takes a lot of work. And it's something you have to constantly be thinking of and working through to ultimately end up getting as God is developing and growing within us. And I'm like, man, I think a lot of new Christians, they may not know how to pray yet or how to say it, but there's just like, God help me every moment of the day. God help me. God help me. God help me. God help me. But something starts to happen when you become a Christian for a long period of time. Been a Christian a long time, you're like, man, I start to get this. I got this Christian thing. Yeah, I've overcome a lot of my struggles, a lot of my sins. Sure, I'm far from perfect, but I'm not doing what I used to do. I'm not doing what this guy next to me is doing. You know what I'm saying? And I've learned, you probably, as I said, hey, we're going to learn about prayer. You're like, oh, great. I've been a Christian for 4 decades. You know how many times I've heard sermons on prayer? It's great. I can phase out a little bit right now. I can read up on the Super Bowl, you know, see what I should put my money on. Don't bet. And you're just like, oh, I got this, I got prayer. And I was talking to Pastor Frankie, actually, our campus pastor in Bayshore, about this. And like, I think the people who may often pray the least are the people who've been the Christians the longest. Because they just kind of have the muscle memory of prayer and the Christian walk. And they're like, I'm good. When I'm bad, I'll connect with God again. I'll give Him a ring. Like, oh God, my kids are falling apart, help. You know? But outside of that, it's not something that we have a reliance on anymore. And let me ask you, friend, especially if you've been a Christian a long time, have you gotten lazy with prayer? I know this happens to me all the time. It's easy to get lazy with prayer when you're like, I kind of have my act together. I have the knowledge. I've been doing this a long time. I have a lot of spiritual muscle memory. I'm all right. Have you gotten lazy with prayer? Do you pray with the fervor that you used to pray? Because here's the thing, no matter what your circumstance is, you are to be longing to be connected with God just as much as ever, right? That doesn't shift. As life gets better, you're like, I need less of God. No, it's like, you need more of God. You know, my son Brady, he's 17, he's a senior, and last year he got his license. And, you know, teaching a kid to drive, that's terrifying in itself, but you know what's funny watching him drive is he drives very different than I do. We're actually trying to find him a car right now. I'm like, man, I need to find like the cheapest, safest car they have on the market. What is that? Because you're nervous when you're a first driver, when you're a young driver. And as he's driving right now, when he gets behind the wheel, he drives very differently than me. And I'll explain. He like uses both hands. And he turns the blinker and looks a long time before he goes. And that cell phone is not touched whatsoever when he's driving. I mean, he is cautious because he's new at it and he doesn't want to make a mistake. He doesn't want to mess up. He doesn't want to get into an accident. So every moment that he's driving, he is focused on driving. We're talking about this yesterday, and then there's me driving. Now, this is one of those don't do what your pastor does moments, okay? I'm just going to be honest and put it out there, you know? Because every now and then, you're drinking a soda while eating a burger, you need your knee. Every now and then, right? You just because you need that perfect bite, drink thing. And if you've never used your teeth on the wheel, you've never really been a driver. you've been driving long enough now that you're just kind of like, oh, I got this. It's all muscle memory. You're not as focused. You're not as worried. You're like, I'm good. I'm going to get from point A to point B. I haven't been in an accident in 20-some years. I'm good, you know? And I think that's what often happens with our prayer life as Christians, too. You've been doing it for so long. You've been at so long. You're like, man, I got this, God. I'll phone you when I need you. Suppose the new driver who every moment's like, man, I need to make sure I'm good. And I wonder if you're like myself, as I've kept growing in my faith, how quick it can be to just kind of blow off prayer because you're like, I got it today. I'm good. I have the memorization of scripture. I know how to live my life. I've overcome those demons of my past. I'm good. Because we forgot that prayer isn't simply about God stepping in and intervening. Prayer is about us relying on him for everything. It's about the constant, ongoing relationship with God that gives the strength and wisdom to navigate through life. Listen, I don't care how long you've been a Christian, you still need God as much today as you did on day one of putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And I need to repent all the time of this, as I'm sure many of you do too. And our reliance on God through prayer unleashes the power of God in our life in the church. It's not just about maintaining, it's about exceeding, it's about growing, it's about seeing the work of God through the Holy Spirit in every part of our life. And when you stop relying, the power of God isn't going to move in you the way that God wants it to, because that's always directly connected to the reliance and the consistency of the prayer life of a believer. You don't have enough power of God in your life, there's a chance it's because you're not connected to him in prayer, letting him move in you and through you. Third and final, we've talked about communion, we've talked about reliance. Prayer is transformation by God. And as I've already alluded to this, but I want to make sure it was a clear point, the more you pray, the more you are in the Word of God, the more you are changed by God. R.C. Sproul, the pastor and theologian, says this. He says, prayer does change things, all kind of things, but the most important thing it changes is us. Prayer is about changing us. Changing us from who we are on the inside out as God is doing a work in us because we're hearing him. Prayer opens up the space that you're actually listening. Guys, we are so busy, there's so much noise, we're running around so much that unless you're intentional, you are not going to hear God. If you don't hear him, he's not going to be changing you. Recently, about a year ago, I got into vinyl records. I wanted to be a hipster. I got the package. In the package of hipster came a record player. All right, that part's not true. But I don't know what it was. Just one day, I'm like, you know what? I want to get a record player. I think it's because my favorite record of all time is connected to my dad. It's connected to my childhood. It's the Jackson 5 Christmas album. And it's the record with my parents we would play and still do every single Christmas as we're putting the Christmas tree up. I know it's very holy, very godly, all about Jesus that moment. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. I know, it is what it is, but it's tradition, so we do it. And so out of nowhere, I want to get a record player. So I bought a record player on Amazon. There was a deal. Actually, that's what happened. It popped up. It was really cheap. I'm like, let's do it. So I bought that. And a couple of good friends in the church actually were going to get rid of some records recently because, like, it just sits in my house, and they gave me some records. So suddenly I instantly end up with, like, a collection. And here's what's been very interesting is I've gotten this record player and I've bought some records over the last few months particularly, is we all hear music all the time, don't we? It's everywhere. I mean, there's a soundtrack to life if you pay attention. Music's always in the background, whether you're in the elevator, you're in the store, you're in the car. Like music is always playing. It's playing in the car next to you when you don't have music on and now you're stuck hearing their music, right? Like music is there all of the time. You're working out, there's music. But that's just hearing music. That's not focusing on it. You're just hearing it. What I love about me getting a record player, and I love the physicality of records. My whole collection's digital. Like, I love having something physical. It's been so long since we had physical media. And I put on the record. This is what I'll do a couple times a week now. I go home. I'll put a record on. And I move the needle as the record spins. And I'll go to my sofa, which is 12 feet from my speakers. Got to know the right distance. And I'll sit down. A lot of times my youngest son, Connor, will sit down with me because he really enjoys music too. And we don't hear music in that moment. We listen to music. Oh, it's different. You hear notes and you hear what the lyrics are saying and you're kind of taking it in. And this moment of just like, I'm just kind of soaking in this and I'm listening to the music. It's not just background. I'm appreciating what the artist was trying to do with this song and the way these songs were lined up, and you're hearing the different notes. I don't know if vinyl sounds better than digital. Could I do this with digital music? I'm sure I could, but we don't. Now, something about that moment of the physical album, and we're just like, hey, let's take this in. Let's listen. You see, when we really pray, we aren't just letting God be in the background. He's not just in the background when we're praying. What we're doing is we're bringing him to the front of our mind. What we're doing is we're really listening to God, really wanting to connect to him. He is the source, and in that connection, that's when we get changed, because it's his power and it's his thoughts and it's his heart and it's his image that is shifting us. When Jesus, towards the end of his ministry in John chapter 14, knowing that he is going to be gone, knowing that the disciples were worried because they were no longer going to have Jesus physically, and he wanted to assure them, like, no, you're not going to be alone. Don't worry. He says this in John 14:26, referring to after he's gone, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And Jesus is saying, listen, you are going to have this helper. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. And a result of prayer is unlocking the communication between us and the Holy Spirit. And he's teaching us and he's shaping us and he's helping us be empowered and grow. And this is part of being a disciple of Jesus, letting him do this work in us. And as we pray, there is a transformational work of God that happens in our life that if you are not praying, you are missing out on. He changes us in our prayers. Listen, friends, this is certainly not a comprehensive message outlining every point on prayer. Actually, that's why we're spending 5 more weeks on prayer. But hopefully there's enough spiritually intriguing here in this message that makes you say, man, I need more prayer in my life. I need more prayer. I'm not communicating with God. I don't have a reliance on God. I'm not being transformed by God in the way that if I'm honestly stepping back and looking at myself saying, I need that. And hopefully today you're saying, man, I am not going to miss a single message of this series because I want to develop that prayer life with God that ultimately transforms who I am into his likeness. The more the people of God and the more the church prays, the more the power of God is unleashed in his people, and the more we start to live in love and be the way that God has made us to be. Friends, we need to be praying every day, or our faith will not work the way that God has made it to work. Next Sunday, we start to learn this transformational power of the Lord's prayers. We start to understand this line: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is the starting place of where most of our prayers should begin. So don't miss next week as we wrestle through this. Amen. Pastor Chris is going to come on up. It is the first Sunday of the month, which means it's the first Sunday to take the Lord's Supper together. And as such, talking about prayer, leading into the Lord's Supper, is a great moment for us to say, hey, this is how we get to commune with God. Pastor Chris, thank you so much.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at CenterPointNY on Instagram and CenterPoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.